This is our official 6 month episode.
Uh-huh.
Like,
right. 6 months.
We've made it, folks.
Okay. We hit 1,000 downloads. Over 1,000 downloads.
Yeah. It takes most podcasts 1-2 episodes to do that. We did it in 26.
Welcome to Irritable Dad Syndrome. It's a podcast. Now sit down, shut up, and listen to your hosts, Mike and Darren.
Hi, everybody. This is episode 26 of Irritable Dad Syndrome. I'm Darren.
The six-month... I'm Mike, by the way. The six-month episode.
This is our six-month half-year-iversary.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Everyone take a look to your left and look to your right. If you haven't spoken to that person for at least an hour a week for the past 6 months,
I don't know what that means. I don't know why Mike bitches so much, because you're the one who asked me to do this.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this will be fun.
Okay.
And you've complained every single
week. That's what I do.
I know.
That's what I do.
That's all you do is you're starting to hurt my feelings.
You're like,
I'm starting to think maybe you're not kidding.
You're like what happens if like Robin Williams and Stephen Wright started a comedy duo. Williams would drive himself nuts. Just be like, will you just stop with the downer one-liners?
Which one of us?
You're Robin Williams.
I'm Robin Williams.
You're Rob. Okay. I can't even say it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be either of them.
Yeah, it is.
Did I ever tell you that there was years ago I met Stephen Wright?
Yeah, I think you said it on the podcast.
Did I talk about it on the podcast?
I think. Maybe. No, you just told me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he came to the Taft Theater.
Okay.
In Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And which is right across the street from the Procter & Gamble building.
Is that where we saw The Cult?
Yeah, that's where we saw The Cult. It's a good place to see a concert, good place to see a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I went to see Stephen Wright. And oh my God, I laughed till my face hurt, laughed till my sides hurt.
See, he doesn't strike me as a guy that would elicit that kind of. Now, he's hilarious.
You could not. You literally could not stop laughing.
Yeah.
At his show, and no matter how hard you tried, he would say something. You're laughing at that. You were still laughing at things he said 5 minutes ago. Okay.
Okay.
You could not stop laughing.
So I thought I was like a trailblazer when I was a kid because I liked Stephen Wright. And I saw his, I forget the name of the HBO special.
I Have a Pony?
No. It had
Rowan. No, that was his first album.
Is it Rowan Atkinson? Is Mr. Bean?
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, he was in it. He was his therapist. Do you remember? It was a half hour show.
No,
Dennis
I don't remember
Jennings,
this.
The Appointments of Dennis Jennings. I think that's what it was called.
That won him the Oscar for best short film.
So the one scene that sticks out, besides the one of where he keeps hearing a clang, like a bell clang,
right?
While he's trying to sleep in his apartment, and he wakes up and he looks out there, and somebody is, you see just a car, and there's legs sticking out on the other side of the car. And somebody is like, it's like they're hitting whoever's lying down, their head with a shovel. And that's the clang he's been hearing.
Uh-huh.
And there's no reaction. He just goes about his day.
Yeah.
But Mr. Bean, Rowan, is his therapist. And the entire time he's laying on the couch talking, Mr. Bean is like drawing pictures of himself choking, you know, Stephen Wright and all these things. And he's like, you know, sometimes I feel like you're not even listening to me. Are you listening to these? There's like a confrontation that happens.
Well, that was the short film where he went into a bank with a rubber band and he pulled it back and he drew and he held up the bank. Give me all your money. I know how to use this. Get back, back, you know, and he robbed the bank with the rubber band.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we went to see Stephen Wright, Taft Theater.
Right.
Our friend, our mutual friend, Michael Flannery, was opening up.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, okay, I know Michael Flannery. Michael can get me backstage to see Stephen Wright. So we get there.
Hold on. What's the timing of this story? When did this happen?
2002.
Okay, so this is a while. You've been friends with Michael Flannery for a long time.
I've known Michael Flannery for 20 years now.
Good Lord.
Yeah, 21 years.
I haven't even known myself for 20-something years.
Okay. Who has, really?
Yeah.
So I thought Michael can get me backstage to see Stephen Wright.
Yeah.
So we get to the show, and I asked the people working there, I said, hey, is Michael Flannery around? And they brought him out. And
yeah.
Michael's like, Darren, I doubt I'm going to meet Stephen Wright. He's not even He says, I haven't even seen him. I'm going to do my bit.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, I get to leave. so I don't know if he had to pay anything, or I don't know that if he ever did get to meet Stephen Wright.
Oh, wow.
But he says, but what you need to do is after the show, if you go to the right side of the building, there will be his tour bus there, and you may get a chance to see him coming out then.
Yeah.
So after the show, we went out, we hung around, and there's like five of us, maybe six of us, and we felt like such nerds, right?
Yeah.
And one guy had a giant notebook full of, I'm using quote marks here, ideas that he wanted to run by Stephen. Oh,
God. That's got to be a comedian's worst nightmare.
Yes. Yes.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Because if you hear a good idea, then it's like one you can never use.
Right. And if it's a bad idea, you're just wasting the guy's time. You're
wasting the guy's time, and you have to pretend like you like it or not. Oh, my God. Okay.
So I was like, well, we're not going to be as annoying as that guy. Yeah. Then there was a couple of ladies there and a couple other people regular. Yeah. So we get to meet Stephen Wright, and I am starstruck, just completely starstruck. And I'm trying to hold it together because I've admired this guy for as long as I've known him. And I said, honestly, I've been a fan of yours for probably as long as you've been on television, because I think – like one of your earliest appearances where you used to go on Saturday Night Live. He says, yes, I did. Yes, very exciting. Thank you so much for saying that. And that's great.
Yeah,
And I looked at my wife and I said, that's Stephen Wright. And she says, I know. We just saw him in concert. And Stephen Wright starts audibly laughing at her. And I'm like, my wife got a laugh out of Stephen Wright. Super nice guy. He autographed my ticket. I was talking to him about the short film that you mentioned. And I said, I can't find it anywhere. This is before streaming services were around. And
this is back when a caveman would get the VHS or the Betamax if they were a more higher caliber.
Yeah, YouTube wasn't a thing. Netflix wasn't a thing.
U2 wasn't even a thing.
No, they weren't. They weren't. But I told him, I said, I've been trying to find this short film of yours that won the Oscar. And he says, well, I'm making another one. And when that comes out, both of them will be on the DVD and that type of thing. So anyway, so that was the night I met Stephen Wright. Funny thing is, like a year or so ago, when I was doing the show with Michael Flannery at the American Sign Museum, I was talking to him about this. Michael has absolutely no recollection at all of opening up for Stephen Wright.
Well, that's all the LSD he's done throughout his entire career. Just,
no LSD, nothing. He just simply does not remember.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
There was a brief moment when he was hiding behind my bushes. I thought it was George Lucas.
Right.
I swear to God. I thought for a brief second, I was caught between I want to run over and hug him for Han Solo and Luke Skywalker.
He would have hugged him.
And I want to go kick him in the crotch for the prequels. Yeah. And then I was like, that's not him. Why would George Lucas be hiding in my bushes? I was like, that's Michael Flannery. And then it went right into, why would Michael Flannery be hiding in my bushes?
Yeah, for people who don't know, Michael Flannery is a Cincinnati known comedian. And back in the 80s and the 90s, he was on HBO and Showtime. And he toured all over the country. And he was a very well-known, very reputable comedian. And he's still very funny to this day. He got married and he decided to stop touring. And he wanted to spend more time with his wife and his family before they left him.
Yeah.
So he stopped. He stopped touring. He stopped doing the circuit, as they call it. And Family Guy, and he, you know, has his job now and everything. He's going to be a guest on a show.
I know. I'm excited.
He's going to be a guest on a show here in a few weeks.
I'm excited because he yelled at our neighbors.
Yes.
That was my favorite part of that entire evening.
But Michael used to have red curly hair, and he wore red Sally Jesse Raphael looking glasses. That was part of his shtick, part of his act. He still has the glasses.
Okay.
But about 10, 15 years ago, he stopped dyeing the hair.
Yeah.
And his hair is solid white now. And he looks cool.
Like a cool dude.
He does. He looks very cool. Michael looks just like, but he does. He looks from the side.
Yeah.
Especially if you're behind some bushes, he does look like George Lucas.
Yeah.
Guys, you're listening on a very special night. Today, we found out that our show has 1,000 downloads.
Yeah.
More than 1,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And we're very excited about that.
Yeah, we're just slightly more popular than Rick and Skippy's podcast out of their clubhouse down the street.
They have a good show. Last week, their show was all about dish towels
and
how to the best way. After you wash your dishes, you lay your dish towel over the side so that it dries and that it doesn't get moldy and musty.
Yeah, and they also have a story about crawdaddin'.
Which...
which is not what you think it would be.
No,
no. Okay, so I have a story.
Okay.
I want to talk about.
Okay.
I don't know. We've got a thing going on, and this is mainly for the kids in the future. They're going to listen to this thing. There's a thing going on called a pandemic.
Yeah.
The COVIDs.
The Rona, as 19, the kids call it.
And it was called 19 because that's when it was discovered, was in 2019, right? Okay. And then it just waylaid everybody in 2020.
I was afraid that, you know, since I wasn't around for 1 through 18, that you I would be lost. You wouldn't understand
it. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But so that's going on. Everybody's wearing masks. Everybody's concerned about this thing.
Everyone should be
wearing masks. Everyone should be concerned about this thing. And everyone should be wearing masks, which leads right into my story about a certain establishment. And I'm not going to – I'm going to give you the name because I don't want to get into a whole thing.
Is it an adult establishment?
No.
Okay.
It is a food serving establishment.
Oh, okay. Wendy's.
Okay. So I called them. It's not Wendy's. Okay. I called them. Well, I didn't call them. What the hell is this? Like the 1800s? I used the app to order.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, I ordered a
– Sarah, can you get Wendy on the phone?
I need me a baguette. It's not Panera either. I ordered some food.
A baguette.
I need a baguette.
I'll shut up. Go ahead.
I ordered some food, and I went to get it. It gave me a time to arrive there. I went to go get it. I go in, and it's clear somebody didn't plan something because there's stacks and stacks of food. Like, there's the window that the people in the back, that's what I call them, the people in the back with the kitchen stuff, and they're placing it on that window. You know what I mean?
I love how you think you're so creative. The people in the back, call them the people in the back. That's what I call them.
I'm working on my vocabulary.
Okay.
They put stacks of food up there, and there's like nobody in there. Me and there's a lady in a pantsuit getting a water. So I'm waiting for my food, and I'm getting a little annoyed.
Right.
Okay. The lady that is in the front, not the people in the back, the lady that is in the front, okay? And then you've got the cashiers who are behind her. I'm trying to get, there's a three-dimensional space here that's very important to the story, okay? So the lady in the front.
It's so important for the listeners.
It is.
So that they know what order the people are standing.
You remember we had that idea where we were going to make like little 3D dioramas? This is one
that was your idea, and I shot it down.
I really need that. So the lady in the front is wearing a mask. I think she got concerned that the people in the back couldn't hear her.
Uh-huh.
So she proceeded to pull her mask down, rest her forearms on the food, because it was up. It was up like four entrees in height. There was a lot. There was at least 20 things up there. Put her forearms up on there and started yelling at the people in the back.
Uh-huh.
And I could just, you know, just normal talking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like anybody talking over my food. The worst thing to come out this past year is the meme where they say, hey, you know, birthday cakes, maybe we shouldn't have been doing that. It just almost ruined cake for me, okay? So now I've got this lady yelling over my food, what I assume is my food. Right. I think that's – and more people are coming in. I think it's all the people that wanted the food that she's resting her forearms on. Then she starts calling names. Right. She reaches over and grabs a bag to put food in. What do you think she does in order to get the bag open?
She licks her fingers.
She licks the entirety of her index finger. I'm talking whoop.
No.
And then and starts putting food in the thing.
Disgusting.
So I stand there aghast.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just paid $12 for a thing and a thing. And it's it was just spittled upon. And now it doesn't matter if she licks her index finger before opening the bag for me. Now, anything that she touches,
in your mind, it's tainted.
It's tainted.
Yeah.
And here's the thing is that I know that that's not the first time. You know, when you catch somebody doing something, you know it's not the first time they've done
what
it.
What else are they doing?
Unless they're
hands?
An infant. Yep, you catch an infant robbing a bank, it's probably the first time he's ever done it.
Sure.
But anything else,
you how catch, old were you when you robbed your first bank?
About three.
Okay,
I
don't mean
bloomer.
To go off topic.
But if you come upon somebody and they're doing something disgusting and you're like, oh my God, that's not the first time they've done that. That's the first time you've walked in on them doing that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm like, I had this crisis On mm-hmm. one shoulder is the dude telling me, you paid $12 for your food. Quit being a pansy and get your food.
Right.
And like what? They were surgeons that were making your food before? You've been into these food establishments and noticed, huh, there's no soap in the dispenser, and then gone on about your day. So that's going on one shoulder.
Uh-huh.
The other shoulder is going, you know, are you really going to kill your family for a chicken salad? Is it worth it
right.
to get this chicken salad that this lady has been licking herself
right.
and doing all these things? To get your chicken, literally,
like a cat,
literally licking herself, grooming her fingers, uh-huh. so to speak. So I walked out.
Good.
I walked out.
Good.
I didn't even want it. They looked so like slammed with people. I didn't even try to get a refund there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my old social media device, also known as a phone. Now, cell phone.
Had you already paid?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you get your money back?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So I picked up the thing and I thought, you know, I am the co-host of an international podcast.
Absolutely.
I am going to blast all four of our listeners.
Right.
And let them know exactly what just happened to me. But instead, I switched to a different account. So mm-hmm. I have the Irritable Dad Syndrome account and then I have my personal accounts. I went on my personal account
mm-hmm.
and I tweeted to them, what would you do? How would you get a refund if you can't get it from the, or you don't feel... whatever. I forget what I said.
Right.
And then they tweeted back, we'd be happy to help you. And then
good.
And let us know your issue in personal messages. I went to the messages. I wasn't mean. Mm-hmm. I wasn't talking about the lady grooming herself. I just said I was using very clinical language. She, you know, massaged her index digit
herself.
With her tongue.
Yeah.
I still haven't got my money back because they wanted to know specifics. They mm-hmm. they wanted to know the street address of the place and what I ordered and all that. And yeah. I'm like, I'm driving. So anyway, that happened. And I really don't feel comfortable going back to this place.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame
you. I know they have good and bad places. I mean, there's some primo McDonald's in this land. And it wasn't McDonald's, by the way.
And there's some dumps.
And then there's some places where you're lucky they don't throw a corpse out at you when you order your food.
Absolutely. Well, a few years ago, we were getting ready to have breakfast, and I had bought some cinnamon rolls, Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. I opened them up. There's four of us in our family, okay?
Was there a rat in there?
No, worse.
Okay.
There was only seven cinnamon rolls.
What?
There's normally eight.
Yeah.
There was seven.
Yeah, there's four of us. There's a pattern. There's a specific pattern. You do the same thing that I do.
There's four of us, which means that everybody gets two cinnamon rolls. Now, I'll be damned if I'm giving up one of my cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
Because I'm the husband, the father, the man of the house.
Yeah.
I get my two cinnamon rolls. Plus, I'm the one baking them. Okay?
Okay.
My wife, she's getting two cinnamon rolls because she's the mom. She runs the place.
So
even though I claim to, she's the one. Then there's the two boys who I know they're going to fight over it. And so we have to half one. Anyway, I reached out to Pillsbury and I told him, I said, devastation has happened. Yeah. I blew it. I blew it so ungodly out of proportion. Yeah. Devastation at our home.
Yeah.
You have no idea the toil. That you have ripped asunder within our home. And
get a
and
video they, of your kids crying.
They thought it was hilarious. And they said, oh my goodness, we can't have that. And they sent me a voucher of a scanny thingy dingy, whatever.
Yeah.
The stuff over the thing with the on the internet.
Yeah.
To take to, they asked, where do you want to redeem this? And what store? And so I told them where I bought it. And within the next day, Pillsbury made good. And they gave me a voucher for a free box, a tube of cinnamon rolls.
Are you hearing screaming?
This awkward pause is brought to you by Kenner Toys. America's favorite toys are made at Kenner. Back to you, Mike and Daryl.
For those of you who are wondering, Mike and I, some people wonder, it's like, are you guys friends in real life? No.
No.
We do the podcast. We're cordial to each other, but we happen to...
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt this. I have to interrupt this broadcast. I texted my wife, shut those kids up, and she came back, sorry, spider. You remember the spider?
The spider is back from episode two? Okay.
I think it's back.
Okay.
Hence the screaming.
Okay.
We're safe down here.
Okay.
It knows that this is my room. And it knows that I have released its comrades in arms, comrades in fangs over the years.
Yeah.
We're good.
Good. Can we get back to the show?
Oh, yeah.
We interrupt our show for this important announcement. Congratulations to Jim Boyce. Irritable Dad Syndrome's podcast listener of the week. This has been an important announcement. I'm Dave Lay.
So Mike and I, we went out on, it sounds so lame saying
we went on a date.
We went on a double date.
Yeah.
The night before Valentine's Day, Mike and Bess met Libby and I at a fancy schmancy restaurant. Mike didn't wear a coat. It was great. He did wear a belt, though.
Yeah.
And
a reversible belt.
A reversible belt. Did you get it at Kohl's?
No, but I had a maroon dress shirt that I was very proud of.
It was very nice. Yeah. If you're going to get a belt, by the way, get one at Kohl's. Kohl's has the best deals on reversible belts. Kohl's, where America shops. So we went on this double date, and we're sitting there talking, and Mike tells a story. And Mike, do you want to tell the story again about the time my son had a sleepover at your house?
So I, generally speaking, make pancakes in the mornings. I've gone out into and spread out and diversified into biscuits as well, but I was still in my pancake phase at this time. And I like me some butter on my pancakes. So we had a guest. I'm going to put a whole stick of butter out there so anybody can get as much butter as they want. Okay. So there was a moment when we were spreading the pancakes around. The butter was there. And
the guest this particular morning.
The guest was Cameron.
Was my youngest son, Cameron.
Your youngest son, Cameron. And Cameron, he reached over with such authority and confidence. Picked up the butter in his fist, like one would hold a Zero bar,
right?
And bit into it and just started going at it.
The boys started
and then looked
eating
and looked,
butter
and looked up at me, not in a well, this is what I do or you know thing. Just kind of like a
what?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah,
like it was a total dominance move.
Mm-hmm.
He was. He that was Alpha Wolf. I almost left my own house at that point and went off to start a family somewhere else. It was like, he has taken over.
So I picked up Cameron that morning, and Mike still had a confused look on his face. He's like, out of nowhere, your son started eating the butter?
Yeah. And I didn't know whether to report it or something to the authorities.
And then I had to explain, because I wasn't even shocked by it.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. At Christmas... The Christmas before, like months before, my wife was making homemade sugar cookies that you cut into trees and stars and decorate and whatever. And so we had stick butter. And both my boys wanted, like, oh, can we eat the butter? Can we try butter? Can we eat butter, Mom? Mom, can we eat butter? Can we? Hey, Mom, can we have a stick of butter? Mom, can we eat butter? Mom? She's like, fine. Here. And she cuts like a pat, like a little, like one little square that you would put, like, you know, when you see a picture of pancakes on the IHOP menu, there's one little square.
Yeah.
She cuts off a pat of butter for each of them here.
Yeah.
And she's like, here, there's your Christmas butter. And so they eat it and like, yay, we had Christmas butter.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
that was the one time that they had done that.
This and wasn't a pat. He went at it like a Viking on a turkey leg. Yeah. He was showing his strength.
Yeah.
When he did that.
Well, now we have to practice what's called syrup control.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
I'm glad that you call it syrup and not syrup. If you call it syrup, this would be our last episode.
No, man, it's like syrup control.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, and he pours and pours and pours the syrup on his pancakes.
Okay.
And then he said, they'll get dry when you pass the syrup. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you have a lake of syrup. On your plate,
just like
you cut a
bite,
then you spread it on the plate. Yeah. He goes, but it's got to be on top of the pancake. I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
When he's pouring syrup or any like salt or pepper or anything like that,
right?
Do your kids understand the flow of that gravity works and that if they shake the salt loose up here, it will fall on the food below? Or do they marry the salt shaker right into the thing, thus getting potato and everything else, face planet. Both of our kids have gone through that phase. Andrew is starting to rely on the theory of gravity to get whatever he's shaking down to his food.
My oldest son used to hold the salt shaker over like he's pouring like something over.
Yeah.
And Libby and I would just watch him and just because it was fun because he would take the thing, the syrup or the salt shaker, and he would just like – just run it over. Yeah. No salt is coming out of the shaker.
Yeah.
And we're just like watching him to see how long is it going to take him to notice that no salt is coming out.
And you're concerned because there's a certain point where that time is so long that you need to call somebody.
Yeah. He makes straight A's.
Yeah.
He goes to public school.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's like sitting there, you know, like a magic wand over his mashed potatoes and his Salisbury steaks.
Yeah.
So, and then we're finally like, dude, it's a salt shaker.
Yeah.
So you shake it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he's going to love that I'm telling this story, but whatever. When he can get his own podcast.
He can get his own damn podcast
and talk
about me
on it. So
that's right.
But yeah, last week we had a guest on our show, Don Smith.
Don Smith was awesome.
What an awesome guest he was.
Yeah.
Something that we're going to tease.
He should get a podcast.
He has. Yes, he's on like seven.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, so if you enjoyed that podcast, something that we're going to put out here in a few weeks was after we recorded, he just kept talking.
Yeah,
and
he wouldn't shut the hell up.
Well, neither would we. We were having a great time.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be some bonus audio released in the next couple of weeks. And something else that I was telling you about earlier was Michael Flannery is going to be a guest on our show.
Yeah.
And there is a podcast called Textual Tension.
I followed them today.
Textual Tension.
I've never listened to
it. It's my friend Margie and a friend of hers. They read dirty romance books.
Okay.
That's their podcast is them reading dirty romance books. We've been invited on their show.
Yeah, that'll be a hoot. Is it Margie as in Marjorie or Margie as in Margaret?
Margaret.
Okay.
Yeah, Margaret. Short for
all
Margaret.
Right.
So
okay.
She's sassy. You don't start any with her.
Yeah, well,
she will not take it from you.
But we have
too much testosterone on this show.
I can't take any bad vibes.
I'm actually pretty excited. We're going to be guests on their show, and then to repay, we're going to have them as guests on our show.
So the first jump is us being on their show.
I think. I don't know. We'll probably record.
Do I have to read any smut?
Sure.
To get on there? Okay. Sure.
You know what? Let's just be like in Best in Show will be Fred Willard. No preparation at all. That's what we do for this show. No preparation whatsoever. Yeah. So that's some things to look forward to coming up. There's a story that I wanted to tell. And like I mentioned earlier.
I have a just stop this week.
I have a just stop and a duh.
Holy Lord.
Yeah.
I don't have very many duhs because too much stuff flies over my head for me to have a duh.
So this is a story that I was going to tell around Christmas time, and I thought it was too dark.
Yeah.
But over time, I've decided that I'm going to tell it.
Okay.
I was at a Target.
Okay.
And you and I both have
the one over here near us. Not near the Breaking Bad Walmart. Or
no, it was the other one.
VOA
on Tylersville
VOA.
Road.
Okay.
Yeah.
VOA.
So my mother's calling.
Let's put her on the show. You wanted to be like David Letterman. Here's your chance, man. Put mom on the show.
My mom's name is Dorothy. My mom has a lot of things in common with David Letterman's mom. So I'm in Target.
Darren, is that you on the computer saying them dirty words?
You ought not talk like that, Darren. Yeah, my mom doesn't sound like Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies. So I'm in Target.
Yeah.
I'm in the Christmas section.
Okay.
And I was looking at the wrapping paper and trying to find some candies to put in the stockings or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a woman and she's on her cell phone. Okay.
Okay.
And she's in the back of the store.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people can hear her.
Yeah.
But the more she started talking, the louder she got.
Oh, boy.
And I had moved a couple aisles over because she started talking about someone threatening to kill her son.
Oh, well, that'll wake you up in the morning.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And again, this isn't funny.
It's not.
It's not
clearly
funny.
Not. It's not normal Target talk.
No, it's absolutely not.
Unless
you're
in the hardware section.
It always bugs me when people are on their phone and then they get in. It's like, well, listen, you tell her that she needs to bring him back at 4. Or,
yeah.
You know, they start. If you're going to have an argument, I've always said, you know, take that outside.
She's not going to lick her fingers and touch my food.
Hey, hey. Yeah, get your armpits off my Salisbury steak. So. She starts talking about this whoever threatening to kill her son.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Not only are we in Target, we're in the Christmas section at Target.
Okay.
And so I'm moving down the aisle slowly going away. I hear her say, if he tries to kill him, I'll kill him.
Okay.
And she says, now, I may be in jail, but he'll be in hell. And I'm like,
Merry Christmas,
I'm out. Merry Christmas, yeah. I'm out. I'm totally out.
Wow.
And it's like, and I walked past and there was a woman with her daughter in the cart.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, just like all these people hanging around like, all right, I don't know what the woman's, what was going on.
Yeah.
I hope that all the issues were resolved.
Yeah.
I hope nobody was killed. I hope nobody went to jail.
Yeah.
I hope they all had a Merry Christmas.
Yeah. They probably didn't. They probably
But that you know, because my wife, Libby, she always says, you know, when I come home from Kroger or Target or something, and she's like, who did you run into today? Because I always...
Something always happens. That's the same thing
always
with me.
Run into some whack job nutcase who like, oh, I see asteroids, you know. And this particular day...
Well, I haven't had a Kroger run-in in a while. I'm starting to get concerned.
I know, me too.
Like, you know, my last really good one was the lady showing me the bread hanger things on the end I talked right. about on the show.
Right.
She was great.
Yeah.
But I really haven't had anybody jump out at me. Now, I did have... I want to go into my just stop here really quick.
Okay.
I was stopped at a gas station. I get out to get my gas. Okay, so you put your card in the thing.
Right.
Yeah, in the little card reader. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It says to take the nozzle and push the thing. And there's a screen there. The screen used to just mind its own damn business.
Right.
It just has a picture. It says lift nozzle and select grade. And some of the more helpful ones have a picture of what the nozzle looks like in case you don't know how to get gas from it into your car.
Right.
All right. On this one, as soon as you do that and you touch the grade, the loudest commercial I've ever heard in my life starts blaring at me about, I don't even know, like a Caribbean vacation. The volume cranked up on this TV, just gushing out at me. And then it goes, and it says it's sponsored by Cheddar, which cracked me up.
By Cheddar?
By Cheddar.
Just Cheddar. Just a particular.
And then the next ad
came
on. That's
as stupid as brought to you by Swiss.
Yeah. And then the next ad came on. It was by Live Nation, which is better because that's something I've actually heard of. I've never heard of a company called Cheddar.
Oh, but so you've never heard of Cheddar?
I really, you know, I'm all for capitalism and the whole thing and ads. You know, I'm okay with ads.
Yeah, that's like the first thing you ever told me.
And I'm okay with paying to get rid of ads. I'm not okay with ads while I'm getting gas. Ads where I didn't expect them before. I don't want to open my fridge.
Right.
And a screen popped down. Hey, you're out of Klondike bars. Maybe you should, you know. Actually, I would like the ability to buy Klondike bars.
But I don't want an ad inside my socks.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Yeah. Anything like that. So, and especially when I'm not expecting it at 6 a.m. in the cold, I.
shiny things and weird noises throw Mike off. All right. Well, my just stop for the week has a lot to do with the weather.
Okay.
Now, we record this show in advance.
Yeah.
So we're recording this on Tuesday.
Yes. Yeah.
What's today's date? I don't know.
The 16th.
Tuesday the 16th. So you're going to hear this a week from now.
Right.
But here's the deal. Up here in Ohio, as they call it, Cincinnati.
The hinterlands.
Yeah. We were predicted to get... between 9 inches and a foot of snow.
Yeah.
And, of course, the grocery stores were... If you call for an inch of snow, the grocery stores are... It's a madhouse. People are crazy.
It's obnoxious.
They go in and they're buying like 3 or 4 loaves of bread, and they're buying all the milk, and they're buying all the frozen foods. And, you know, do you remember back in the day when everybody would go to Blockbuster and rent 3 or 4 movies because they were going to be trapped?
Yeah, and I was always the kid that had to rent Gremlins 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the Lawnmower Man, because those are the only things that were
only
left.
Only the thing they had left. Well, anyway, so they called for between 9 inches and a foot of snow, and we only got maybe 4 or 5 inches of snow.
Yeah.
And there's all these people about meteorologists. Now, I work at a TV station. Yeah. I've worked at 4 TV stations. Yeah. I've worked in television since 1993. And I'm just here to tell you tonight that meteorologists predict the weather. They're not always... right.
Nobody
and
is.
I know that, like, at your job, you're not always right. At my job, I'm not always right.
Exactly.
People, and it's not even a mistake. It's a prediction that up until a certain point turned south.
Yeah.
Because we had they tried to explain it, what happened. A warm pressure system came through, like at the last minute. The snow turned to sleet instead of snow.
Somebody,
and that diminished the snow totals. Yeah. By less than half.
Somebody shot a bird in China and it didn't flap at the right time. And then, you know, the butterfly effect
the ripple effect didn't cause the
thing to happen over here. Calm down, Cindy. You're not right with everything you do either.
Right. It just really rubs me the wrong way because I'm friends with many, many people who are meteorologists. Larry Hanley is one of my absolute best friends in the whole world. He was a meteorologist for decades.
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't end up the way they predicted.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them bad people.
Yeah. I'm sure they don't mind the jokes. I'm sure they never hear any jokes.
Well, here's the thing. What I want people to do, this is something that you can
predict the weather yourself?
Yeah. One, predict the weather yourself. This is a just start.
Okay.
How about when the meteorologists predict the forecast and it's right?
Yeah.
I want you to call them up and say, hey, good job.
Yeah.
You're right. Because they're right lot.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
There was a period of time when we were needing to replace a door on this house.
Yeah.
And I needed to know from which direction and when and how much rain was going to occur in any given time. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, I'm that person that's going to do that to a door and track the weather.
Uh-huh.
But I tracked the weather. I drove Bess crazy for months. I was like, okay, it says it's going to be north-northwest wind at 9 mile an hour. I remember the last time it was 8 mile an hour and it was fine. This one's 9, so I expect it to be a little bit more intense. And you know what? It was.
Right.
So they are so accurate so often.
Yes.
That you don't even think about it. The reason you don't think about it is because you look at the weather, you know, like modern people, you would look at it on your phone or like me, you would just look around you as you're walking outside. That's what the weather is.
Yeah.
But people getting so upset because they're wrong once in a while.
Yeah. They can suck it.
Yeah. Suck it.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, you know, they thought 9 inches to a foot of snow, we ended up getting 5 to 6 inches
here's
of snow.
Here's the thing. It was still dangerous out there. I was driving in it.
The roads were still very slick.
Yeah.
Very unsafe.
I'd like to talk about that for a second.
Okay.
Because we have, for the first time in, I think, our lives, we own a four-wheel drive vehicle, an all-wheel drive.
Right.
Okay. So I've been less scared, but just because you have four-wheel drive doesn't mean that you're impervious to snow. It's not like you're driving a Tauntaun out there.
No.
Today of all days, I was driving, and you know, today was doomsday for the snow. All right. The day was the day. So I get up and I go out there and I'm driving, and you know, like there's a lane that everybody's in, so it's kind of worn down. You can see the pavement.
Right.
And on either side of that, it's just like covered in snow. Right. Well, I'm not going to get on the snow part.
So you're following the tracks.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, the guy in front of you is actually in the right lane.
Exactly. And I saw so many people in trucks and SUVs just zooming down the road.
Oh, not a care in the world.
No, kept seeing these SUVs and trucks try to like tailgate and end up, you know, swerving and having to slow down. Yeah. I'm like, you know, not only are you wasting everybody's time, you're damn near killing yourself each time you do that.
You're risking everybody's life.
Yeah. So it was driving me nuts.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Years ago, I was driving home from Dayton.
Yeah.
It was almost midnight, and I could barely see any road. And I'm driving maybe 5 miles an hour, you know, maybe 10 miles an hour. And the jerk behind me starts flashing his lights and honking
God
at me.
God's sakes.
And I just slowed down to like 2. I'm like, you're in such a damn hurry.
Yeah.
Pass me.
Yeah.
Go. Because I'm not going any faster. I had a long way to go. And didn't matter when I got there.
Yeah. So I was going about 35 or 40 today. And I felt like that was about as fast as you should be going. But all these people kept passing me. And it was getting to the point where it was like, you couldn't see the lines on the road.
Right.
Okay. I knew that I was in a lane because I could see the tracks. But on either side of me, you know, this is Ohio. Everything's flat. You know, they could just go off, you know.
What's high in the middle and round on both ends.
That's right.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
And so I was like, okay, I'll speed it. They all seem to be going a little bit faster than me. Mm-hmm. I'll get up to 45 and it won't be. As soon as I hit 45, I started going sideways. So I'm like, nope. I accelerated a little bit to get out of that and then came back down to a normal speed. I'm like, you know what? The hell with them. Yep. There's no job worth killing yourself. That was going through my mind. Like, where are you people going?
Right.
Are they giving out free crack up here on the side of the road?
Maybe they already gave it out.
Wow, this episode is really starting to suck. Let's go back and listen to a clip from an episode that didn't suck.
Well, something I wanted to talk about before we get into...
I wish you'd quit changing the subject.
Okay, Mike, let's just talk about the dog poop that's in your yard.
No, I'm fascinated.
You got a bag of dog poop. What's the bag look like?
It's
is it
blue.
A Kroger bag? A blue bag?
It's not a Kroger bag. Your finger goes right through those.
How much dog poop would you say is in the bag, Mike?
A small amount. You saw how big Molly was.
This is
smaller than a Dakota poop.
On prior podcasts, you said that dog could poop a lot.
Yeah, she could. So,
okay.
This is a very oddly small amount of poop.
How high up in the tree would you say that dog poop bag is, Mike?
9 to 10 feet.
9 to 10 feet?
Yeah.
Okay.
About 3 feet out on the branch.
What would you think that bag of dog poop weighs, Mike? Since this is the only thing you want to talk about.
About 1.5 ounces.
1.5 ounces of dog poop.
Which is shockingly small for the amount of poop that she
normally... How long do you think it took Molly to get that out of there?
I don't even know if she knew that it happened.
Uh-huh.
I saw it come out.
Okay.
And captured it.
And you
not mid-fall.
And you picked up the bag. How long did you carry the bag before you threw it?
Less than a few... I was probably about 5 seconds.
Okay.
Until I looked and I saw we're about 30 feet from our house.
Right.
And I flung it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
What type of sound did it make when it hit the tree? So,
yeah.
Something big happened to me today.
No.
Yeah. Something did.
Why didn't you lead with that?
I meant to, and I got distracted.
Yeah.
I got distracted.
Yeah.
So I'm on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
If you go on the
Twitter,
you can follow me on Twitter at Darren Loves Bacon.
Yeah.
And, for the longest time, my tweets have gone nowhere. Nobody seems to care about my tweets anymore. Nothing does anything.
I've unfriended you twice on there.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had one that actually got a little bit of traction.
Yeah.
And today, there's a guy, he goes by at Eric Zorn.
Okay.
He says, the top tweets in my feed this week were written by this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And then at the bottom, at Darren Loves Bacon. I look up who this Eric Zorn guy is. Eric Zorn.
Yeah.
He's a writer for the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah.
He's got like 20,000 some followers.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And then I'm looking at the list, and one of the people on the list who he also said were his top tweets of the week was a guy named, I think you've heard of him, Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, you're in good company now.
This guy thinks my tweet is as good as something that Jimmy Kimmel wrote.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap. And that doesn't happen to me every day.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That's
and I thought it was pretty cool. And so I went to this guy's site. And if you go to the Twitter and you go to at Darren Loves Bacon, you can see that I've retweeted it. And you can go to the page that he has. And you can actually vote on my tweet.
You can
vote and you can see. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And my tweet is the one, it's like 8 down. It says, why do I have to read my own tweet? I wrote it. My handwriting is so bad, I once wrote my wife a love letter for Valentine's Day, and she thought it was from her doctor. Bam. I'm voting for my tweet.
Yeah, okay. I'm voting for your tweet, too.
Yeah, but there's some...
Okay,
there's some,
I did that.
There's some funny tweets on there.
Whoa, you're up there.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no, you're not. But anyway, I thought you were.
Anyway.
You're a lot higher than me.
Anyway, I thought that was very awesome.
That's
very,
really
very
cool.
Yeah. So, Eric Zorn, if you're listening, we'd like to have you be a guest on our show.
Yeah.
And we'll thank you for mentioning my tweet in your best of list.
This week. Yeah.
So, do you want to hear my duh?
Yes.
I mentioned that I work at a TV station.
Yeah.
I worked at 4 TV stations.
Okay.
I've been in television since 1993.
Okay.
And a week or so ago, I went out. I make commercials. I make local television commercials.
Yeah.
I was out on a shoot.
Okay.
Okay. I'm wearing a WLWT hat.
Yeah.
I have a WLWT jacket.
Oh, no.
I'm wearing a WLWT shirt.
I see where this is going.
And I have a WLWT mask.
Okay.
I get out of my car. Now, I drove my own car.
Okay.
But I usually drive a car that has WLWT on the side, too, to my commercial shoots.
Yeah.
I get out of the car,
and
I'm walking into the business where I'm about to do the commercial, and somebody stops me and says,
"Are you
do you work for WLWT? God. And I say, yes. Yes, I do.
Wow.
Duh.
Yeah.
Really?
Okay.
You know, do you work for... And back when I worked in Tennessee at WJHL...
Yeah.
The same thing happened.
Yeah.
I'm going on a shoot, and this time I pull up in the WJHL
van. You're adorned with all the regalia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I get out of the WJHL van with a WJHL shirt and a WJHL hat, and somebody says, "Hey, you work for WJHL?"
Yeah.
Because that's how they talk down there in Johnson City.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yes, yes, I do. How y'all doing? Yeah. It never fails. When we were at dinner, I forgot, when we were at dinner with, you know, with Bess and my wife Libby, Mike looks at Bess and he goes, "Is that place where we took the kids to do that thing?" And she looks at him and she says, "You need to learn more words." But what the funny thing was, yeah, is
she knew exactly what you were talking about.
She goes, "Yes, that was the place.
Yeah,
that was the place."
Yeah, we should have the that would be a good segment when the podcast really starts to flounder.
Right,
is to bring the wives on. Because we could have like a whole discussion. No,
let them have their own podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so God, we're running out of things to talk about, guys.
Yeah.
So we're gonna answer your listener questions.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know we had that. We could have pulled that ripcord a while ago. Why do you keep doing this to me?
1,000 listeners, 1,000 downloads, folks.
Yeah.
I don't think Textual Tension is gonna have us on their show now.
Yeah, they're gonna
listen
to
this and go, I'm not interested.
No.
I'm not interested at all. David Robinson wants to know jerky. Beef, deer, or turkey? What's your favorite?
Beef. What the hell? Why would it not be beef?
Right.
Deer jerky is for... Okay. Deer jerky is very tasty.
It is tasty.
It makes you have nasty farts.
Okay.
And it seems kind of hoity-toity. Because deer jerky is the kind of jerky that you eat wanting someone to ask you what it is so that you can tell them you're eating deer jerky. That's why you have deer jerky.
Right.
Because then you get in the whole thing of, did you hunt it yourself? Yeah. Did you make the jerky yourself? Yeah. What's the story behind the thing? Well, it was out there.
I know.
You can't just
have deer meat on you without someone wanting to know, did your papa get it for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were the other types?
Beef, deer, or turkey jerky.
Turkey jerky is...
No.
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 No. No. No. All right. So Jenna Wells, she wants to know the best way to hold the meteorologist accountable for the serious depression and sadness of her children. And we talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
Move on, Jenna. Preston Powers wants to know, where were you during the blizzard of 93? Did you have a blizzard in 93 where you lived? I lived in Johnson City.
Probably.
Yeah. I was in Johnson City.
Oh, wait. I was in school.
Yeah.
I was at OU. No, I wasn't at OU. So we had multiple blizzards. There was one that I wasn't there for. I think it was the one in 93 because there were all these pictures when I got back of people jumping out of the dorm onto like snowdrifts and stuff. And I missed all that.
Have you ever like jumped and face planted into a snowdrift?
No, I missed out on doing that. I missed out on being able to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that. That was fun.
Yeah.
Andrew Gibbons wants to know, why do explosions and kung fu always make a better movie? Andrew, that's like the dumbest question ever.
Explosions make everything better.
Yeah, exactly.
Driving Miss Daisy would have been better.
Oh, God,
with
if the car had just...
Yeah.
Just
everything.
Windows flying.
The greatest movie that was ever made is Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
It would be better if there were an explosion.
If it exploded.
In there. Yeah.
Exactly.
So.
Absolutely.
At the end, the prison just explodes.
And Andy Dufresne walks away in slow motion from the prison. And then you hear Morgan Freeman, that was the longest night of his life.
Yeah. And then it puts on the shades and
slow motion puts on his. Then you hear The Who.
Dude,
Bob O'Reilly, right?
Another great movie, Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
Tons of explosions.
Yes.
If there weren't explosions in there, it wouldn't have been that great.
I think I saw that movie 4 times at the theater. Theater.
Okay, so I saw that at an older theater. Mm-hmm. It was the Keith Albee in Huntington.
Okay.
All right. And I mentioned that by, specifically because we do have some listeners in that area. And
right.
They'll remember back in the day, that was the place to see the theater.
Mm-hmm.
When Saving Private Ryan was coming out, it was not back in the day. This was when the thing was kind of on its way out. But I was impressed by the fact that they had such amazing surround sound that, when you hear the bullets shooting from the front, you could hear the ricochets back behind you in the theater. And it was, I just never expected that in that type of theater.
Yeah.
But yeah.
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 I thought you were going to keep going.
No, No.
Yeah. Amy Hurst, she's a fan of the show.
Okay.
Amy Hurst is the...
Is she the one that took pictures of the cheese?
No. That was Aaron Durbin. Durbin took the pictures of the cheese. Amy Hurst is the one who listens to our podcast, but not her husband's podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why we really like Amy Hurst.
Okay.
She wants to know if we have any advice for fun, family, vacation ideas. We have vacation memories, spring break trips, or road trips.
Well, I have a great idea for a road trip
and
family vacation that I didn't get to freaking go on because of the coronavirus. Right. Yeah. It was a trip out west, and I downloaded an app. And if downloading apps aren't your thing, it's also on your computer. You can go to Road Trippers. I think it's roadtrippers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an amazing thing. And we got a subscription to it for $7 a month. Mm-hmm. And I planned this thing over the course of 6 months. It tells you how far you're driving. Mm-hmm. It gives you recommendations on hotels to stay in the area, places where you may want to eat, other attractions nearby. And we planned a trip. We were going to fly to Colorado, but we were going to drive from Colorado all the way over to San Francisco and then fly back from San Francisco. And along the way, we were going to go to all the normal things like the Grand Canyon.
The biggest ball of twine in Minnesota.
Well, yeah. The Hoover Dam.
Yeah.
We were going to go to the Pussifer store in Jerome, Arizona. It was on the list.
I've been to Jerome, Arizona.
No, you haven't.
I have.
No, you have not.
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah. We went to, it's right next to Sedona.
Yeah.
Did
you go to the Pussifer store?
No, I didn't go to the Pussifer store.
The hell?
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's a restaurant in Jerome, Arizona called Haunted Hamburger.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's apparently haunted.
Okay.
And we bought some pottery there.
So,
and what we did not do is we drove, we could have went to Winslow.
Yeah.
And once a year, Winslow has corner days.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I was driving or standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, such a fine sight to see from the Eagles song. So corner days where on every corner they have like shops and everybody celebrates that one song that made them famous.
Yeah. So anyway, and then we had Vegas on there. We were going to stay. We had reservations at all these places.
I've never been to Vegas.
Reservations at all these places, by the way.
Yeah.
Most of them already paid for.
Yeah.
And we were going to stay at the casino that looks like a castle.
Yeah.
And we had the room, the cool room with the castle. A lot of money we put away for this thing that we didn't get to go on.
Right.
And we didn't get all of it back, which also... we were going to stop at the... If you look behind you, you see the U2, them out in the desert.
The Joshua Tree.
That place. Mm-hmm. That was on our trip to go see the Joshua Tree.
Yeah, Bess and the kids would have sat in the car and you would have went out there and cried.
No. We were all going to go because they have to take pictures of me by the... And it's still there. It's dead.
Right.
It's laying there. And there's like a little U2 shrine and people bring U2 things. I was going to bring a copy of Achtung Baby. I was going to do all these... Actually, I was going to bring a copy of the Joshua Tree. I was going to bring two copies of the vinyl and I was going to have us all as a family sign the both copies and bring one back with us and leave one there at the Joshua Tree. I thought that'd be a cool thing to do.
They would just throw it away.
We mean there's no they. This is in the middle of Death Valley. There's nobody there. There's like that people left there years ago that's still there now.
People just leave it there.
Okay. I'm gonna show you after this is over. I'm gonna show you pictures of this place. It's amazing.
Wait,
it's like a U2 shrine.
Okay,
that's not all. We were gonna go to the Sequoia Forest with the big ass trees.
Yes,
along the route. Now this is the glory of road trippers and why I'm so pissed off that this trip hasn't happened. And why it took 6 months to plan. Along the way, there's a canyon that the Air Force uses for like flights and flying light training.
But Mike's making airplane.
But they have test flights and they have training. It's like Top Gun or something out there. It has a name. I can't remember the name of it, but I can show you on the trip of where it is. And it's a place. If you go there a certain time of day, you'll see flyby. And there's people. These pictures look like they're from Top Gun. Mm-hmm. And it's just people taking pictures with their camera on their phone of just jet. They're like right there. And they recommend, you know, ear protection if you're going to go up because you're going to there's going to be sonic booms and crap.
Yeah, you'd be deaf.
There is a little lake there that is like extremely high in minerals. So you can just go out to the lake and pick out of the water. All this amazing
right
was in this trip.
Right. And you didn't get to go.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That Delta.
You told me about that because that pissed me off too.
Delta would not give me my money back on the flights. They gave me vouchers that I have to use by the end of, I think it's 2021 this year, which we can't go this year, or maybe it was the middle of next year. There was a tour that we were going to go through the Navajo Nation or Navajo American. I forget what it's called, but it's a tour through that land there. It was like we paid like $400 for that tour. It was an all day tour. Mm-hmm. And what really makes me sad is like all the places that I saw to visit, we were made sure that we were going to get to that because people were talking about how amazing that tour is. We didn't get our money back on that. And I think they went out of business. It was like a family owned that business. All kinds of stuff. We had like all these cool things. Like I was staying at a place and you could see, you know, like where our room was situated. You could see like where scenes from different movies were in the way. This was the ultimate out west trip.
Yeah.
Can't go.
Nope. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, she mentioned, and Amy, you've got kind of a misconception here, a miss, what's it called? An oxymoron when you say fun family vacation. You can have a fun vacation, yeah, or you can have a family vacation.
When I went on vacation with
kids,
my family,
I love you, daddy's teasing.
Yeah.
God.
We stayed at a lot of motels, which people don't do anymore. That terrifies, the idea of that terrifies me now. But back when I was a kid, I thought that's how you traveled.
Yeah.
Just a door between you and the parking
lot. Exactly. Yeah. The motel with the flashing light, vacant, and the sea is always out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Our final listener question, and then we're going to wrap it up for the day. But Missy, is it Riggio or Riggio?
Riggio.
She's a fan of the show. She wants to know, Marky Mark, more funky or more bunchy?
I think now he's like a mixture of the two. His bunch is funky.
You know what? What's crazy is, and if I was him, I would not be this way. But he does not like talking about when he was Marky Mark.
Yeah.
He does not. I think he did
some stuff back then.
As far as he's concerned, that part of his career never happened.
Yeah.
When he was an underwear model.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I know you're a diehard U2 fan and you love a lot of prog rock and this and that, but Good Vibrations, damn, that's a great song.
Okay.
It is a great song. Okay. Every time I hear it, I crank it up.
Crank it up.
Yeah. I do.
Well, I don't know why you brought U2 into that.
I do love it. Because Marky Mark doesn't sound like something that you would get into.
Doesn't sound like something I would get into? Mm-hmm. I get into everything.
Yeah, okay.
Except country. But Marky Mark.
Missy, Mark. Mike and I have talked, Funky Mike and I have talked, and we believe that he is more funky than bunchy.
I can't think of any, there aren't many other, like The Rock doesn't, he's not embarrassed by his wrestling. He started with wrestling, like if you look at that now, I would think you would want to like distance yourself from wrestling, but I don't think he does.
Right. Came out on Letterman one time and Paul and the band played Good Vibrations and he shot Paul look like, one more time, and I will snap your bald head right off your shoulders. And I wouldn't mess with Marky Mark because he could do it.
Yeah.
He could mess us both up.
Yeah.
And Chris Hughes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, guys, listen, this has been our 6-month anniversary. It's not an anniversary. Our 6-month celebratory.
It has to be 1 year to be an anniversary.
It has to be 1 year to be an anniversary. So you can't call it a 6-month anniversary.
Semiversary.
Our 6-month half-iversary.
Yeah.
We thank you for listening, and we want you to go to our website, irritabledadsyndrome.com. If you want to listen to previous episodes, you can go there.
If you
want
to buy merchandise, damn show,
you can go there. And please subscribe to our show, and we really appreciate it. And drop us a line. Let us know what you like and what you don't like.
Yeah.
And again, thank you so much for helping us
write us a letter. We've got a P.O. address for the boomer mail.
Get a stamp.
I'm paying like $12 a year for that thing. I want to get a letter.
Send us a letter. We'll read it podcast.
Send us a postcard from where you went vacation.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Send us a postcard.
Yeah.
Postcard. God, Jesus. I can't talk. Send us a postcard.
Yeah.
La, la, la. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night.
Wow. What an episode. This one reminded me of that scene in Shawshank Redemption where Andy Dufresne crawled through a river of wasn't that a great movie? Anywho, see you next week on Irritable Dad Syndrome.